Well, I knew I was in Fort Worth, Texas, whenever I sit in my chair and I begin to worship. And of course, in my part of Texas, we call that the fiddle. And so, of course, I could tell I was in Fort Worth with the fiddle being played today. Let me just say thank you so much for being here today. I want to say, Dr. Greenaway, thank you for the invitation to be here. I was here many moons ago when the earth was still cooling as a student, and it's great to be back. It's great to be here among you. I don't take lightly the opportunity to open up God's word and to share a word, not to be hearers of the word, but rather to be doers of it today as well. I do bring greetings from God's country down in Brownwood, Texas. Would covet your prayers, would covet your intercession on our behalf as we seek to raise up a generation of people who leave our campus ready to make a difference in the kingdom of God through their vocational calling. So be praying for us because we are praying for you. You know, the world needs more organizations that are working together. The world needs more churches that work together. It needs more denominational partners that work together. It needs more institutions working together because the world needs what we seek to produce in this room as well as in where I serve, and that is people to understand how to integrate their faith within their discipline and their vocation. So we do look forward to continuing our partnership with you today in this midst. You know, this morning, it's my hope and my prayer that it would not just be a time for us to come to hear God's word and to think about its context for a moment, but rather my hope and my prayer would be that today that we would be people who are doers of the word because we're changed because of what it says today. This morning, I will be reading from a very popular story, a story that many of us began learning as small children, and I know I did at the First Baptist Church of Gainesville, Texas, where I grew up and became a Christian and ultimately felt called to the ministry. I can remember this story as if I was a small child, hearing it from the very first time, and yet today, its message still rings true. So if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 6 as we look at the story of Noah, a man who was standing head and shoulders above his colleagues. A man who, whenever God looked down, didn't see just a regular man, but rather a man who would be used to transform history today as we know it. So this morning, I will be reading Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 22. The verses will be on the screen. I would invite you to stand as we read God's word together this morning. Genesis chapter 6, I'll be starting in verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. Verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on all the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Verse 17, behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth, to destroy all flesh in which is a breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of all the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you and keep them alive. As for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Verse 22, thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the reading of your word. God, we know that your word is alive, that it pierces our hearts, that it speaks to us, that it transforms who we are. God, today may you be honored by the reading of your word and be honored in the application of it today. God, I pray for those listening, both in this room as well as those who are connected virtually, that today, Lord, that you would speak to them in a way that transforms who they are. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you for this time together. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One would not have to turn very far to the left of Genesis to see the beginning of all that we know. One would not have to turn very far from the beginning to where we get to the point to where God has said, I have had enough. For those of us in this room who are parents, we've had these moments, am I right? We've had these moments, not my kids, I'm talking about your children, but we've had these moments to where we allow our kids to make their own decisions, to where we allow them to go their own way. We allow them to go down roads of their own making. And then there's that point to where we say, enough is enough. You know, whenever I think about these verses of Scripture this morning, and whenever I look at verses 5 and 6, and I read, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And I read that God was sorry that he had made man. It makes me wonder, what does the Lord think today when he looks on our earth? Friends, I'm not just talking about what he sees among people who don't call him Lord and Savior. I want to be very personal and ask you, what do you think God thinks when he looks in the hearts and the lives of those that love him and serve him? You know, I wonder when God looks at the divorce rate in our country, what does he think? I wonder when God looks at the levels of addiction in our society today, both inside and outside the church, what does he think? You know, when God looks at the immorality and the sexual abuse and the issues of today, what does he think? When he looks at the use of alcohol and drugs in our world, what does he think today? Let's look maybe internally. When he looks at the divisive spirit at work in the midst of his people, how do you think he feels about that? Now let's talk about the dark places of our heart for a second, those that people can't see. When he looks at pride, when he looks at anger, when he looks at the resentment, the bitterness in our hearts below the surface, what do you think he believes about that? Friends, I would echo the words probably in verse 5 and say that he is disappointed, to say the least. So what does that mean for us today? What this means for us today, I think, is we need more verse 8 Christians. Because you see in the early parts, 5, 6, and 7, God just is so disgusted with his people, so disgusted with what he sees. And then in verse 8, he says two words that I hope he can say about us today, but Noah. So let's talk this morning about how we can be included in that today. Because we need more people who God can say, but Corey, but Adam, but Ashley, but Joanna, but Melinda, but so on and so on, and Carla. And I don't want to start calling names because I'm going to forget somebody. So I apologize. Friends, we need more people like Noah today. So let's look at his life. What can we learn from him today? First and foremost, I think we can learn from Noah that he was a man who listened to the Lord. Emphasize the word listen today. Now, I'm a retired pastor, so I got 3 points. I don't have a poem for you today, but I got 3 points I want to share with you today. So if you're taking notes, the first thing is, first and foremost, Noah was a man who listened to God. Look in verse 14. God begins talking, and he says this, make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. He begins to very detail, begins to have a lot of detail with what he wants. And then in verse 17, behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth. And then verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you and you shall enter the ark. Verse 19, he begins to talk about the animals. Verse 20, he says that. And then 21, he says also take a little bit of food. Is it interesting to you that nowhere between verses 14 and 21 do you see Noah raising his hand saying, hold on just a second, I have a little bit I want to add to the conversation here for a moment. Nowhere in here do we see Noah switching from being on the listening end to being on the speaking end. See, because we live in a world today that God did not only speak back then, but God is speaking to us every single moment of every single day. Even way back in Exodus chapter 3, whenever you have this crazy bush that's burning, God sometimes has to have those kind of moments to speak to us so that way we can hear him. I think we know this intellectually. I think we know this mentally, that yes, God is speaking. But the problem is there's constant noise in our world today. As I was thinking about and working on this message a few weeks ago, I came across a term I'd never heard before. It's called noise pollution. Maybe some of you heard this, but it's called noise pollution. This is how it's defined. Regular exposure to elevated sound levels that may lead to adverse effects in humans or other living organisms. Over time, it can lead to dementia, sleep disturbances, hearing loss, and even hypertension. None of those are good, am I right? Friends, if it's that damaging noise to our physical beings, let me ask you, how damaging is noise to our spiritual beings? Because God is speaking to us. But there's this problem in our world and in our world and my own existence that many times there's so much noise going around me that I don't stop and get quiet so God can speak to me. You know, before moving to Howard Payne, we lived in Waxahachie, and I served at a sister school in Dallas, and I had about a 35 or 40 minute drive. Every morning on the way up, it was great because I was able to have worship music on. I was able to have God's word playing over the speakers of my vehicles. I was heading that way. And I would constantly have noise going on in my vehicle on my way home. Constantly noise in my vehicle. And over time, I began to get convicted that there was never a time in my day beyond once I got into my vehicle that I stopped, I paused, and created margin in my schedule for the Lord to speak to me. We have got to take advantage of opportunities to be men and women who quietly reserve time for God to speak to us. It's uncomfortable when it's quiet, am I right? We're not accustomed to these moments, am I right? But friends, let me tell you, it is in the quiet moments to when I hear God loudest. It's in the quiet moments when I'm alone with my thoughts, when I'm alone with God's word, when I'm alone before him, that he speaks to me. The same is true for you today. Noah was a man who listened to God. If you're like me, sometimes when I get in my private time, I do a lot of talking and I don't do near as much listening. As a young child, I remember my mother, in all her infinite wisdom, reminding me that the Lord gave me 2 ears and one mouth for a reason. At the time, I thought she was stating the obvious, but over time, it became clear what she was saying. I need to listen a lot more than I speak. We need to do that with God's word, right? In my private time with the Lord, I'm really good about saying, God, I need help with this situation. God, I need help with this. God, I need you to move in my life this way. God, you're going to have to like part the Red Seas with this issue that I'm dealing with because I don't know how you're going to handle it. I'm really good with begin checking those things off. But if I'm honest, I'm not as disciplined at sitting and saying, God, speak to my heart. I'm probably not the only one in the room that has that issue. See, it's interesting because as I read this story and as I hear the detail that God begins to walk through with Noah, this is how big it needs to be, how wide it needs to be. Oh, don't forget a window so that way you can have some air in there. You know, you're gonna have so many stories. It's interesting to me that nowhere in there do we see Noah raising his hand and having a question, but rather just listening to what God says. I think there's a message for us today that we as his people, we as his children, need to be people that simply listen to him. So aside from listening, that's the first thing. The second thing I love about the story is that Noah was a man who acted on what God told him. So all of you are in this room because you're studying God's word. You're studying for ministry. You're preparing for that. You have Old Testament, New Testament, systematic, biblical inter. You have all these classes that I spent time, just like you, learning how to study God's word. That is an academic discipline that is vital for you in ministry preparation to understand God's word in order for the Lord to speak through you as you seek to lead other people So we need to hold high that value. We need to hold high the importance of study and academic rigor when it comes to the understanding of God's word. But if we only listen to God's word and do not act and do not respond to God's word, then friends, we are nothing but a clanging cymbal. I want us to be people. I want this to be a room. I want my own life to be someone who doesn't just hear what God says, but acts on what God says. 6:22, it's very clear. Thus Noah did, according to all that God had commanded him, so he did. If you look back in verses 19 and 20, you'll see that God very clearly says, and of every living thing, all kinds of flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark. To keep them alive with you, there shall be male and female. Of all the birds and their kind, of all the animals, every creeping things, two of them will come with you. If you're Noah, you probably are wondering, how in the world am I supposed to get those birds in the ark? If you're Noah, let's just be real for a second. If you're Noah, you're probably wondering, how are we going to get all of these unique type of animals gathered together and get into this big boat? How's that supposed to happen? But notice how little Noah got distracted with details. When I was a student here, and I began to have these dreams and visions of what God wanted to do with my life, rather than being simply obedient to what he was calling me to do, many times I got distracted with details. How big of a church? How small of a church? What's the role going to be? Where are we going to live? Going to have good schools? Is it a place where I'm going to raise my family? Is it a place that Melinda's going to be able to find the places that she can develop community? And I began to get distracted in the details as opposed to just hearing God's call and acting. I think as Christians, many times, this is one of the best ways the devil can get in the way of what it is we're called to do. Because he can get your distraction from hearing God and acting on what he says and moving forward and get buried in the details that are really immaterial. God is a God who clearly speaks to us and is looking for people who are willing to act. One of the things I admire about this story and Noah's acting on behalf of what God says, is that he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. That he pushed on and got the job done. See, because you got to remember, I mean, this is obvious, right? I'm at the seminary, everybody knows this. But you know, you couldn't just go down to Home Depot and say, okay, this is what we're doing. You couldn't go to the rent-all place and get all this equipment. No, this was a huge undertaking that took decades and decades in order to accomplish. And do you ever think there was a day that Noah woke up? Maybe his back's a little sore. Maybe his hand's a little calloused. Maybe he's not feeling too well. You think there was ever a day he woke up, he went outside, he saw the progress, and he thought, man, I don't know if I can finish this. Do you ever think he thought that? The answer to that question, my friends, is of course he did. Aren't you glad he didn't quit? Aren't you glad he didn't stop? Aren't you glad he got after it and kept hammering and cutting and measuring and hammering and lugging that wood around and getting the lumber up, finding the pitch, checking the measurements? Friends, he didn't quit. He knew what God called him to do. He trusted that the Lord had spoke to him, and he acted on what it was and didn't give up. Dr. Greenway hit the nail on the head. When he and I were elected presidents of our respective institutions, no one told us that COVID was coming, okay? In all my interviews with the presidential search team, never once did the question come up, how would you manage a pandemic and lead an institution if you were elected president of this institution? That question never came up. I don't know if it did for you. No. But friends, let me tell you, when times are tough, when times are difficult, when you don't have the answers, all you can do is trust that God has spoken to you and act on what he tells you to do. Too many times in life, we expect God to map it all out for us, to make it easy for us. Too many times in life, we're almost there and we're ready to quit, but God says, no, get after it. Don't stop. Do exactly everything that I have called you to do. We know this. If God's called us to it, we have the power of the Holy Spirit available to us to accomplish all and everything he has called us to do. When we are weak, he is strong. The bigger the challenge, the greater the glory. Say it however you want. God is going to call us, speak to us, call us to act, and give us the resources that we need to do our jobs. As I think about great examples throughout Scripture of people that acted on what God told them, I think about the story of Abraham. In Genesis 22, 1 through 3, I'm just going to read a few verses. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Look at this. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him. And Isaac, his son, he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. I don't know about you, but I want that kind of bold faith. I want to trust God so much that I'm willing to get up the next morning and do something that seems so ridiculous and so outlandish, but I know God spoke to me, and so I have to act on it. Not only that, I love what Jesus tells us in Matthew 4, 19 and 20. Jesus said, come follow me, and I'll make you fish for people. So Simon and Andrew, what word does it say? Immediately left their nets and followed him. God is looking for a generation of people who are willing to trust him and act on what he's called him to do. I love the words of Galatians 6:9, because it is an encouragement for those of us who are in the journey, for those of us who have heard God and are acting on what God says as we push through to build the ark that's before us. It says in Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we don't give up. Now, I grew up in a small town, like I said, north of Dallas. My grandfather sold pump jacks and was a beef master. And one of the jobs that we had as the free labor that were part of his family was helping to bale hay as we were young. So my cousin and I, we would drive tractors and we would rake the hay so that we could be baled and things like that. And over time, I began to very quickly realize that what you reap, you sow. Over time, as a young boy, I realized that if there's not any grass seeds in the ground, if there's not any water on top of it, guess what? We don't have a job. The same is true for us and our habits as we become the men and women God called us to be. So it was true with us in the behaviors and the schedules and the things that we do, becoming the people God wants us to be, because we will reap what we sow. If you want to be a person that God can use to make a difference in the kingdom, it starts today. If you want to be a person who's used by the Lord to provide leadership to a church in such a way to where a congregation impacts that county and that state for his glory, it starts today. Because God, it very clearly tells us, he wants us to hear him, he wants us to act on that. And lastly, I love the fact that Noah was a man who trusted God's timing. That's the third thing I want to leave you with today. Look in Genesis 7, 1 through 5. I save this to the end. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for you alone I have seen to be righteous before me in this time. You shall take with you of every clean animal by sevens, a male and his female. And of the animals that are not clean, two, a male and a female, also the birds of the sky, by sevens, male and female, to keep offspring alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and I will blot out from the face of the land every living thing that I've made. Verse 5, Noah did according to all that God had commanded him to do. So Noah was a man that heard the Lord. Noah was a man who acted on what God told him. And then lastly, Noah was a man that trusted God's timing. Sometimes I think this is where we get ourselves in trouble the most. Because if I'm Noah, and I've spent the majority of my life building an ark according to what God has told me to do, and I have somehow, some way been able to gather together all the animals and get them in the ark, shut the door, probably a little anxious, probably a little excited, a lot of adrenaline, right? For those of you who've been called as senior pastors, that first Sunday, how excited you are. For those of you who are serving in student ministry, that first Wednesday night you get to speak, that children's ministry, the first time you open up your new children's wing that you've been able, whatever it is that God's called you, that first time that you did whatever God was calling you to, the excitement, the adrenaline, the joy that you have. I think that's what Noah felt here. So day one comes, all those folks, everything going on in the ark, excitement, adrenaline, nothing's happening. Day two comes. Probably a little bit of, man, I wonder when the rain's going to start, right? I know God says 7 more days, but did he really mean 7 days? Right? Day three comes. His wife probably looks across the bed from him in the morning, maybe thinking, did God really speak to my husband? Are we really sleeping in a boat with all these animals and our family? Day four comes. Sons probably come up to him and say, okay, Dad, like we believe you and we hear you and we rolled up in here with you and we trust you. But, you know, it's been 4 days and I'm in a cloud in the sky. Day five comes. Animals probably get a little restless. Am I right? Day six comes. Every single day. Can you imagine the anticipation of, is God going to come through? Every single morning, waking up and wondering, did I hear God correctly? Every morning, waking up saying, did I mishear? Did he say 7 days, 17 days? Did he say, go ahead and get in the ark now, or is I supposed to get in it later? But no, they stayed in there. They clearly heard from the Lord. They acted on and they trusted his timing. What does this mean for you today? Some of you in this room, I believe with all of my heart, you are in day six of your ark experience. You've heard from the Lord, you've trusted him, and God is about to come through. You have to trust his timing. Some of you, you're just getting started. Some of you are working on an ark right now. Others of you, maybe you got it and you rolled in there and you've gotten started and nothing has happened just yet. And you're just starting this journey. But as Christians, especially those who feel called to vocational ministry, I think this is where we mess up the most. God has called me to be a pastor. He's called me to be a missions leader. He's called me to do whatever. And we wait to hear from the Lord to really understand when and how that's supposed to happen. And sometimes I think we miss God's timing because we put our schedule and our agenda before his. I don't want us to be people who do that. God's timing can always, always work. You know, whenever we were going through the interview process to potentially begin serving at my alma mater as president, my daughter was a junior in high school as we were going through the interview process. And as we began to think about, okay, would God really call us to move our family, specifically our daughter, the summer before her senior year, from the only school, from the only home, from the only church that she's known in her life, would God really call us to do that? I'm just being real honest, so thank you for letting me get this off my chest, right? So that's what I was thinking. But I have no doubt that's what he wanted. Fortunately, he spoke to all of us individually. That's a sermon for another day. 5 years from now, I'll come back and preach that. But friends, we trusted the Lord. We went, we moved. And it was not an easy experience, you know, moving to from a bigger town to a smaller town with a group of people who've grown up together can be what they very theologically call challenging, okay? But one crazy thing happened her senior year, and that was this terrible pandemic began to be unleashed throughout our world. And one of the very few good things that came out of that pandemic was when everybody went remote and everybody went online. She was able to go back to the school she came from, finish her coursework online, and guess what? Graduate with all her friends. I tell you that story today because God's timing can always be trusted. Always. I'm not saying God caused that terrible pandemic. I'm not. But as cheesy and corny as it sounds, I believe that God redeems all that he allows. And her obedience, hopefully, changed the trajectory of her faith journey in that experience. As an institution, we've chosen Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 as our theme verse for the year. And it's not just because it's easy to remember, it's not because it's familiar, but rather it's because it's a timeless truth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. When I think about God's timing, I think it's an exercise in trust. When I think about obeying what the Lord says, I think it's an exercise in trust. When I think about listening and hearing from the Lord, I think, friends, it's an exercise in trust. Because as God's children, as his people, we need to stop being so consumed with ourselves and our journey that we don't take advantage of the opportunities to hear from him, to act on it, and to trust his timing. Now, this morning, I know there's a room full of people here today that are in different aspects of your faith journey, as well as your academic and spiritual journey as well. And I don't know today when I'm going through these three things, which one jumps out to you the most. But I know the work of the Holy Spirit enough to know that whatever one spoke to you the most is the one he wants you to deal with today. If you're like me and I hear messages like this, I go, okay, I got that one, okay. I got this one, all right, but this one, man, I really need to work on this one. That's you today. We will never, as God's children, ever have an opportunity again in this moment like we have right now. If you're like me, sometimes I get in a routine, get in a rhythm, come chapel, experience, leave, and go. I don't want the word of the Lord to return void today. Take advantage of what God is doing in your heart. Use this word in such a way it becomes something that transforms your life and your journey today. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the way that it speaks to us in ways that only your spirit can. God, this morning, as we think about the life and the story of Noah, God, I'm so grateful that his story is one of obedience. God, as we think about his life and we think about his experience in Genesis 6 and 7, God, I'm grateful that he made the determination to be a man that listened to you, and then not only that, was willing to act on what you told him. Also, Lord, who trusted the timing that you shared and you worked in only the way that you can. God, may your spirit work in this place. May these people, at the sound of my voice, do business with you in ways that they can become more like the people you've called them to be. These things we ask in your name.